Our scripture today, you're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible, your Bible at home, or on the screen, is from the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, and then again verse 10. I'm going to grab a Bible here because I'm going to read a little from it. Let's see how quickly I can find it. Jonah's just a little book. All right, I'll find it later. No big deal. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this your word, which we're about to share with one another. And we pray to you that your Holy Spirit is with us, preparing our hearts and minds, opening them to receive your word, your truth, into our lives as you desire. May it challenge us or hold us accountable. May it help us in areas that we need help in. We pray also for your mercy to be on the sermon. May it be glorifying to you and used by you for your purposes. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, and then verse 10. Hear now God's word. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a beautiful picture found online. That's just one line. All right, but we'll get to that in a moment. Okay. The story of Jonah is one that most of us at least are familiar with a little bit. Is there anyone here by chance, and I usually don't ask questions like this, but I'm pretty sure the answer, who's never, ever, ever heard of the word Jonah? Most everyone's heard of Jonah, even if you haven't been grown up in the church. Jonah is one of those stories that those who are just in the secular world would know, at least in passing. Of course, when we talk of Jonah, we are reminded of the whale also, who's like the second biggest character in the story Jonah. Maybe even the first biggest. I don't know how big are whales. I mean, it's a big character. And now the whale in Jonah chapter 3 isn't mentioned, but is alluded to. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah first time, and that's when the whale showed up. So let's talk about that first time very briefly. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and that was to go to the Ninevites and to share the message with them, this message, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now Jonah didn't want to do that. We all recognize the story, we all know the story a bit, and so we kind of have an idea of why Jonah didn't want to do that. We're going to talk about that very briefly. Nineveh was an extremely hated country for Israel. Nineveh craved power, and they didn't care how they got it. Nineveh craved land, they didn't care how they got it. Nineveh created wealth, and they didn't care how they got it. And how they got it, to some degree, was that they, on the edges and the borders, where Israel and Nineveh butted up against one another, Nineveh would send raiding parties in there and decimate those little villages, taking people into slavery, stealing their wealth, and expanding their borders bit by bit. And it wasn't just Israel. Nineveh was power hungry for a lot of things. And the things that they've done, as described by God himself, at the end here, verse 10, and they turned from their evil ways. The things that Nineveh was guilty of was considered evil in the sight of God. And Jonah, not being God, Nineveh even more because he was a passionate person who saw all the wretchedness and all the wrongdoing that Nineveh did to Israel and absolutely hated them and didn't want anything good for them whatsoever. And so one would think that maybe having God calling Jonah, that Jonah would have liked to go throughout the city and say, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Because we are human after all, and part of our humanity and part of our weakness is we like when, or there's a temptation there, to enjoy seeing our enemies get what they deserve. In fact, so ingrained is this feeling within humanity. I shared with you this paraphrase before because it's one of my favorites, not because I agree with it, but because of the strength in which it was given, of a, and I don't remember when, 14th century, 15th century theologian of the day said that heaven wouldn't be heaven if you didn't have windows watching your enemies burn in hell. Again, it was a paraphrase, but I mean, he just was super excited to get to heaven and watch his and enemies burn. I don't agree with that. But we see this truth today. How much that people love watching the other people who do bad things get their comeuppings. Karma is a word used quite a bit. People who love video after video after video of car crashes because people are doing not nice things. Be like, hi, yeah, you got it. That's what you get, you know, that kind of thing. And we celebrate other people's demise. Jonah would have loved to see Nineveh get destroyed. In fact, after he delivered the message, he went up on a hillside and sat there for 40 days, hoping he would watch the hellfire and brimstone fall on Nineveh. He was disappointed in that. He didn't want to share the message because he knew something about God is that though God holds justice and holds countries and people accountable, God also shows mercy. And God can't show mercy unless the person knows that there's something bad headed their way if they don't change. How would it be to show mercy to Nineveh if Nineveh didn't realize that if they weren't careful, they would get just destroyed? And so in sharing the message, Jonah knew that Nineveh was being set up for an opportunity for redemption. And he didn't want that to happen. Not even a little bit. And so he ran, even seeking death. As he ran away, God followed him all the way onto the ship and threw a storm at him. And Jonah said, it's my fault. Throw me overboard, thinking he'll die. And at least with him dies God's message. Then he sent the whale. God sent the whale, and the whale spewed him. And that's one of my very favorite things about the book of Jonah. That Hebrew term is like, it's like vomited him. You ever go to Noah's Ark in Kennywood? You remember how you enter Noah's Ark in Kennywood? Through the mouth of the whale, and it got that nice squishy tongue that you walk on? Well, Jonah didn't walk out on the nice squishy tongue of the whale. He got spewed out in the bile and the grossness of it. Was gross. And anyway, so he goes knowing that he can't run away from God. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And so Jonah obeyed the word this time and went. Now we skipped over 6 through 9, but I want to share those real quick with you. Just to kind of give you an idea, it's the reason they skipped over, it's more or less a redundancy of what we've already read. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. They did see this moment, this opportunity for forgiveness. They didn't want to be destroyed, and so they turned to God. Now remember, Nineveh had their own gods. But because Jonah came with this message, Nineveh turned to God, and God relented and forgave them. This holding accountable, which is what God did through Jonah, held Nineveh accountable for what they did, is something that's so important in the church. These two words that I come back to every so often are so important, but not talked about near enough, and accountability and confession. Now, we talked about already how much the world loves to see the enemy fail, whatever enemy that might be. But the world also loves to tell people what they're doing wrong. The world loves to do that and to stay on that. How many times politicians or famous people or anyone said something 20, 30 years ago, and as they're running for the candidacy or whatever, it pops back up again. Because people love to point out the terrible things that people have done. And we've all done some pretty terrible things of which we're not very proud of, which we would like to forget. We drudge these things back up. Now, we're told that we shouldn't be judgmental of other people, but the Bible does say something a little bit different. And it's nuanced, and that's why we just say, don't judge people. But we're supposed to judge people, sort of. You see, we live in a world where it's none of your business. Whatever it might be, none of your business. You stay out of my business and let me do my own thing. But the Bible doesn't let us get away with that kind of thinking. It says, don't judge, lest you be judged. Also, it says something similar to don't judge, lest you be judged in the way that you judge. Meaning, there is a way to judge. The way to judge is how God judges. With love. With compassion. With grace. Oh, but it's so hard. So hard to do. How many people have you heard tell other people what they've done wrong, not with compassion or love, but with the word I use at the other church, because I couldn't come up with a better word, with uppityness. It's a hard word to say. Not even a real word, I don't think. But you know what I mean. You did that wrong. And let me tell you what you did wrong. Let me tell you what you did wrong, because I know better, of course. But you did this wrong and you did that wrong, and because you did that, you failed. If you just would have asked me, you wouldn't have failed, because I know how it needs done. We don't do a good job at telling people the truth that they need to hear. But not only that, we don't do a good job at receiving the truth that we need to receive. And it may be a symptom of too much pride, but it might also be a symptom of the way it's told to us. Whatever the case is, we need to get better, because this is a vital part of who the church is. God wants us to draw closer to God every day and every moment, but there are things in our lives that are holding us back. choices that we're making that we could be making better choices. My brother, he's really big into the idea of reconciliation, of which this is very much a part of. And he shared a quote the other day by a man named Leo Tolstoy, who I've heard of. But it says this, in order for the truth to be heard, it must be spoken with love. No matter how wise and true a spoken word is, it will not be conveyed to someone if it's spoken in anger. And it's so hard to speak the truth in love. This world feeds off of anger, feeds off of pride and being right all the time. That telling a person that they're wrong is such a joy because that means we're right. And we're not telling and we're not conveying, we're not judging in the way that Christ has taught us, which is through love and compassion. And what happens if you go up to someone and you say, hey, this isn't right. The way that you're living, it's harming you and it's harming others. And they say, I don't want to hear it. Let's make it easier. Parents, you see a kid that's doing something that's going to hurt them, all right? And that thing, we'll make it real simple. They want to touch the frying pan, which is very hot. This is the easy one. They want to touch the frying pan, it's very, very hot, and you see them reaching out, not for the handle, but for the side of the frying pan, and it just got turned off, and they're trying to grab it, and what do you say? Don't do that. And they do it again, and you tell them why. Don't do that because it's hot, and you're going to get burnt. And they reach for it again, and you tell them, stop it. It's very hot, and you're going to get very burnt. And you turn your back for just a second, and you hear your child scream. And they're holding their hand because why? They got burnt. So what do? You sit there and you laugh at them. I told you so. If just you would have listened to me. No, of course you don't do that as a parent. What's the first thing you do? You pick them up in your arms and you take them over to the sink and you turn on the cold water. You get a bag of ice and you put it on the burn. And then while you're healing them and helping them, you say, you shouldn't have done that, right? Maybe next time we'll make better choices or something along those lines. Maybe someone doesn't want to hear what you have to say, but that doesn't give us a reason to then cut ties. As a parent, we can't cut those ties. We're with them in the midst of all the decisions that they're going to make. My parents were for me, and I greatly appreciate it. Not at the time, but I do now. Accountability and confession within the church is so important because it's one of the ways that we're going to draw closer to Jesus Christ. But we need to know how to do it. Jonah, he didn't get it, but he knew that God did. Sometimes we do need to tell person that what they're doing is going to harm them. But during that, we need to walk with them in love and compassion, to know that they might not listen to us, but that we still love them and we'll help them through that time. Sometimes we can't do it, but God does put in our lives, in the life of the person, someone who can. I pray that we're able to continue in our lives, both as a church and individually, to show compassion, to show accountability, and to confess our sins to one another in love. I leave with you this benediction today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct your paths. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Go in peace.